Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. I am so fired up for today's show. There is so much about today's show I absolutely love. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Today would be a good day for Colin was right, Colin was wrong, huh?
It would be. Today would be a good day. I don't, you know, when I was ultimately right on Westbrook, I said this is not the day to bring out the hammer. Because I do think Russell Westbrook's a good human being. And I'm glad Joy brought that up. I'll start with that. Generally, there is one or maybe two stars in the NBA that the fans love, the media loves, and people think I pick on them. Carmelo Anthony's been this guy. Blake Griffin's been this guy. John Wall, Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose. Where I just don't like them like everybody else does. And so for 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years, I get nothing but hate mail, nothing but vitriol about Derrick Rose in Chicago. I kept saying, it's not going to last. He's not going to last. He can't shoot. He's going to get hurt. I said with Westbrook, he can't shoot, hyper-athletic, not going to age well, too rigid. I said about Blake Griffin, he's the best volleyball player, spiker in the league. I'm not building around Blake Griffin. I've said this about Carmelo Anthony, doesn't play defense, doesn't play well with others. And I get nothing but hate mail, but I'm proven right eventually. I got league pass. I watch this league. I know basketball. I'm good. Doesn't mean I'm perfect on basketball. Doesn't mean I can pick every series. I thought Boston would beat Milwaukee. But so when I go after a star that's really popular, it is just nothing but hate mail and hate tweets for years until I'm proven right. Westbrook's the last one where you all kind of went, Colin got that one right. So my latest target, if you will, is a Joel Embiid. I said last couple of weeks, I'm not building around him, I'm trading him. It was relentless. I've got some of the nastiest emails, tweets, whatever you get on social media from Philly fans. I said, I'm not riding that roller coaster. Number one, he's beyond high maintenance. Number two, he's always hurt. And number three, he vaporizes Ben Simmons' game. And Ben Simmons has to work, or the legendary process is an abject failure. Simmons can't play with him because Simmons needs the lane wide open because he can't shoot and he scores at the rim. Well, this morning, I think Philadelphia, this time it only took Joy a week. It didn't take 4 years of your hate mail. It took a week, Philadelphia. You know this morning, I was right. You can't build around that. You can't build around that. Forget the 6 treatments to get him on the floor. He hurt you on the floor last night. Listen, 95% of the general managers in this league are petrified to trade a popular player. And that popular player, like Westbrook, is often your best player. And they don't like to do it. They're petrified. But two teams in this league have been willing. Two GMs in this league have guts. Daryl Morey of Houston doesn't give a rip what I say and doesn't give a rip what you think. He'll just go for it. And the other, the guys in Golden State. Because they moved off their best player, Monte Ellis, an all-star, hyper-athletic, fun to watch. And they moved off him. And they said, no, we're going to go with this kid from Davidson who has an ankle problem, Steph Curry. And do you remember the night that Rick Barry, a Warrior legend, introduced Joe Lacob, the new owner, who had the guts to move off the star? You remember how ugly that got? I do.
Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. Come on, you're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
It's hard. That general managers don't like that stuff. Owners don't like that stuff. But the Bulls should have moved off D-Rose sooner. You saw the injuries. OKC picked the wrong guy. Philadelphia. Embiid still has value. It's time to move him. week ago, you were saying, Colin, why would you trade any of these guys? And I said, because they don't work, because they're underachieving, because they have the second best talent in the league to the Golden State Warriors. They do. I got four guys that can play, three potential stars. Choices. Life's all about choices. Make the right ones. Ben Simmons, a great player. Doesn't work with Embiid. Jimmy Butler's a great player. I'd keep him. Not a lot of Jimmy Butlers. Tobias Harris, numbers right, big, can shoot. I'd keep him. J.J. Redick, I'm not letting go of a shooter. Embiid's got value, but man, high maintenance, can't stay healthy, and doesn't work with Simmons. Not saying that Embiid isn't better than Simmons today. Westbrook was better than Harden in Oklahoma City. But the difference between the haves and the have-nots, the winners and the losers, the rich and the poor in sports is mostly two things. A, and the Patriots are masters of this, the ability to move off talented, popular players who are either a pain in the butt or aging poorly. The second thing that separates the rich from the poor in sports, the haves and the have-nots, the winners and the losers, the ability to spot talent in coaching, free agency, and players before everybody else does. Warriors knew Curry before he was Curry. The late Steve Jobs knew you needed the iPhone before there was the iPhone. He knew you would be staring at it all day. That's what separates millionaires from billionaires. The ability to move off things that have served their purpose and the ability to spot things that will serve their purpose, but nobody but you can see it. Philadelphia, choices. Oklahoma City made the wrong ones. You got four dudes. Going to be able to keep about two of them. Embiid and Simmons don't work. Here was Charles and Shaq afterwards.
So Mark Jackson said, Joel Embiid, you're one of the greatest big men, so can you step up to the challenge? He's not doing it today. I don't want to hear no excuse. If you step on the court, your dog meat, your barbecue chicken, alert. I don't care about no respiratory. I don't care about no boiler. I don't care about none of that. You want to get to the championship, and you want people to remember the process forever, you got to step up. 5 points is unacceptable. During the regular season, he's averaging 28. He's now averaging 18. He's not stepping up to the challenge.
They showed him walking into the game today. He's walking by himself. Like he's on his deathbed. As a star player, you can never show weakness. You got to keep the other guys involved in the game. That's what he does. He complains so much about being sick, he drains the energy out the room.
I got some icy hot cough drops for you. Man up.
And, you know, those guys are funny guys, so they say that stuff, and we don't think it's mean. Often, when I went after Wall, Rose, Blake, Mello, Westbrook, you got to be able to see things before other people can. Warriors, Monte Ellis, Steph, and you got to be able to move off popular players. The Patriots have done this. The Warriors did that. You just have to. I mean, remember the old game Operation? Remember the old game as a kid you played Operation? Embiid has had a stress fracture in his back, a broken right foot, a broken right foot again, a torn meniscus, a right hand injury, a broken eye socket, a sore left knee, a stomach flu, upper respiratory infection. Folks, it's a lot of stuff, and I like him. And I know you're saying, Colin, you're brutal. He can play. Somebody will take him. But you got to make choices. And again, the separator in sports, can you move off popular players when you see trouble ahead? And can you spot talent before everybody else does? The knuckleheads think Simmons can't play. The have-nots think Simmons can't play. Ben Simmons is unbelievably talented. He just can't play with Embiid. So you're going to have to make a choice. Make the right one. By the way, there's a reporter who's very respected. I like him and know him and have talked to him recently. His name is Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski. When he drops stories, he usually beats his competition. They call him Woj Bombs. I always believe them. Although this one, I'm not so sure. Woj says Kawhi Leonard seriously considering re-signing with the Raptors over LA teams. With all due respect to my a very respected NBA writer, Kawhi doesn't talk. How do I know that? Wasn't San Antonio the perfect fit? Tim Duncan hid in San Antonio for 20 years. They had a system. Popovich was loud, talked a lot, takes away all the glamour from the franchise. I thought San Antonio was perfect. And actually, couldn't I argue you can hide in Toronto? The most northernmost franchise in another country? I mean, Canada or Hollywood? What's a better place to hide? Halifax or Hollywood? Aliens could land in 88% of Canada and nobody would spot it. Lindsay Lohan pokes her head out of her condo and TMZ's there in 15 minutes. I love Woj, but how can anybody know what Kawhi Leonard's thinking? He doesn't talk. And by the way, you could stay in Toronto and you'd be the second most popular player or the second most well-known person in the arena to Drake. I thought San Antonio was perfect. I can make a very, very compelling argument for Toronto. I can make, if I ran the Toronto Raptors, I can make an unbelievably compelling argument. My first argument is, we win, we're a good organization, we're stable, and oh, by the way, you're only here 3.5 months a year. People forget, the first day you show up is late September for pictures, the last day is mid-May. But 4 months is the off season. 3 months, you're actually not in the city during the regular season. You get a week off for the All-Star break, and one more month of pre and post are not in Toronto. You're actually only in your NBA city for 3.5 months. Toronto, by the way, is wildly diverse and sophisticated. It'd be the third biggest city in America. It's not Sacramento. Sacramento's a hard pull. That's a hard marketing push. Come for the taxes without any of the beach or glamour. That's Sacramento. That's a hard sales pitch. Really. California's taxes without the perks. That's a tough one. Toronto's beautiful. Toronto's smart. Toronto's diverse. Toronto wins. Toronto is well run. You're only there for 3.5 months. I got to be honest. As much as I love all these NBA reporters, I don't think anybody knows about Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he basically doesn't even have a powerful agent. He's got like a relative. I think we're all guessing on Kawhi Leonard. Also, throw this out. Woj mentions this. Toronto can pay more than anybody else. He's already got a house in California. Toronto can pay more. You can hide there. They win. They're stable. The GM's smart. Seems to be a likable team. The Eastern Conference is generally weaker than the Western Conference. By the way, it's not like their taxes are that much worse than California. You're not going to the Dallas Mavericks or the Houston Rockets or the San Antonio Spurs where there are no state taxes. California and Canada, pretty darn close. The only difference is, in America, you can write off your house. You count in Canada. But you can only write off $700,000 of that, so it doesn't matter because Kawhi owns a $13 million house in California. So I will say, as much as I respect all the NBA writers, Woj and all of you, I don't know how anybody can figure out Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't really communicate. As a player, he doesn't really pass. He doesn't really talk. He's got big hands and an interesting laugh. I thought San Antonio was perfect. Tim Duncan hid there for 2 decades. I mean, I think that's Kawhi Leonard laughing at all of us who think we know what Kawhi Leonard's thinking. I don't have any idea what he's going to do. I think it's L.A., but I've never been less sure in my life. I don't even know what team in L.A. They tell me he doesn't like LeBron. All right. Then I keep reading stories. Maybe he likes him a little. Seriously, that's Kawhi laughing at all of us, suggesting he's made up his mind. I don't know. Every sports always has that guy that you just can't quite. We could never figure out Jay Cutler. Was he really that permanently grumpy? Was Jay Cutler just mad at everybody? I can never quite figure out Jay Cutler. And there's been NBA stars like that. There's been baseball stars. The great Steve Carlton didn't talk to anybody. He only used one catcher, Tim McCarver. He didn't like anybody. There's always been like the athlete we can't quite figure out. They're private. They're covert. I got no idea on Kawhi. And I'd be the first to tell you, I got no idea. My sources don't even know his sources. My people don't even know his people.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Last week was one of my favorite spots ever with Nick Wright. He had to he had to acknowledge I was right on Westbrook. If you didn't see it, it was a glorious segment. It was it was some of the best TV I've ever seen, and that includes Gunsmoke and American Idol. This week, it's not so great for me. Let's go to the Coward Global Satellite Network. I'm going to have to acknowledge the Celtic thing is not going to work with Kyrie. Milwaukee's really good. Hi, Nick. We can brush past that quickly. Go ahead.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah. Whatever.
Well, I mean, if you'd like to, I mean, I would rather not. I'd rather sit here and marinate it in it like a good stew for a moment. I mean, there's the Milwaukee part of things, which is this team's a juggernaut. I don't know when people want to acknowledge it. They have 51 wins by double digits. Yeah. Every team that has ever reached a number like that wins the title. Top three offense, number one defense, and oh, yeah, the best player currently playing basketball in Giannis Antetokounmpo. I know that you're big on Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, but you're also big on Kevin Durant and Kyrie, though, couldn't win a title. Well, why if Kevin Durant's the best player in the world? I'm so confused because Giannis is about to make the NBA Finals. And then there's Kyrie. And you love the smart GM. You love the transaction.
Yeah.
You love Danny Ainge fleecing the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. When Kyrie walks out the door, and the Celtics have nothing to show for it, and we then look at the Nets and the Celtics, Boston and Brooklyn moving forward, who's in the better position? The Nets with D'Angelo Russell and probably a max free agent this summer, or the Celtics building around the core of Jason Tatum, who took all of Kobe Bryant's worst traits with none of Kobe Bryant's best traits and turned himself into an incredibly inefficient basketball player, $64 million wrapped up in Gordon Hayward, like, and Jaylen Brown, a homeless man's Kawhi Leonard. I'm just curious.
Listen,
who's in a better position moving forward and what the process really was for Boston, because the best year they ever had involved the little Isaiah Thomas, not the actual Kyrie Irving. And that's kind of tough for Celtics fans to swallow. But not if they've been listening to me, who's been telling them this was going to happen for 6 months. But that's all. We don't have to say anything.
No, I mean, it's, you know, I was wrong on this one. I'd like to move to the next topic, but I thought it was certainly smartly articulated by you. I do think it doesn't feel great this morning, and Kyrie's leaving, and that's guaranteed. And I don't know exactly what they are, and I think you're right. All right, let's go to something I really like. It is hard to move off popular players. Warriors did it with Monte Ellis, decided we're going to go with this kid from Davidson with bad ankles, and it paid off. The Patriots have mastered the art of moving off popular players. It is hard. Oklahoma City failed. Joel Embiid, Nick, you know how I feel. He's popular and great and cool and fun and social. I can't build around that. He vaporizes Ben Simmons' game. What do you make of Embiid? I mean, what are you going forward with this team?
Well, let me ask you something real quick, because I'm curious, because I listened to the Open. I thought it was really interesting. You clearly have the opinion, Joel and Ben Simmons, you got to pick one of them. I'm just curious, and there's no judgment here, legitimate question.
Yeah.
Why are you saying trade Embiid rather than trade Simmons?
Because Embiid is going to be expensive and play 58 games a year, and back-to-back years in the playoffs, he's not healthy. Simmons is uniquely large for his position, only Magic this size, great court vision, don't worry about his injury, can't shoot, but is top three in the league getting ball two shooters. You trade Embiid, you get a guy who can shoot. I think going forward, you know, listen, there was Harden and Westbrook. OKC chose the wrong guy, even though Westbrook was better in the moment. That's my takeaway.
All right, so I think it's actually not a crazy take. I think people react to it like it's a crazy take. I understand where you're coming from. To me, right now, Simmons and Embiid both have one massive weakness, because you and I were both the captains of the Ben Simmons hype train last year.
Yeah.
And I think we both assumed that this summer he'd be in the gym instead of in the club with the Kardashian and would come out with a 9-foot jump shot, a 10-foot jump shot. His shot is so bad that the great writer from The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, he's been postulating for 3 years. He is literally shooting with the wrong hand. I don't know that he's going to get better at that, because I don't know if he's going to work to get better at that. If he doesn't get better at that, he has a defined ceiling as a player. Embiid's issue is totally different. Embiid, fully healthy and fully functional, plays like an MVP. There is, because the league has gone so small, there's no one in the league to match up with him. He's a bad matchup for everyone. But you're not allowed to miss playoff games, man. This is just a rule. Like, if you're injured all year and you miss a season, so be it. But if you play through the season, the only reason you're supposed to miss playoff games is a season-ending injury if you're a superstar. That's the, I didn't make the rules, but I know what the rules are. And for Embiid to, I thought this was, whoever made this in the great FS1 graphics department, this is beautiful. Operation, great game, little buzzer, the whole thing. But it's real.
Yeah.
And it's a concern. And now we don't just have to worry about structural injuries. Hey, man, Colin, you, how long did you go when you first became Colin Cowherd, everyone knew? How long you go without a sick day?
Oh, my first year at the other place, I didn't take one for a year and a half. I wanted to prove to people,
right,
I'd be there every day.
And I, exactly right. And guess how many, since you've known me, you know how many sick days I've taken? Zero. You know how many times I've been sick? Plenty. But I don't treat myself that well. But you got to show up, man. I don't want to hear about an upper respiratory infection, and I think Chuck and Shaq nailed it. Even if you know you're compromised, you can't exude the, oh man, because energy is infectious,
yes,
in a good and bad way.
Yes, it is.
It can be infectious positively or negatively. So I would be hesitant to trade Embiid because if he stays healthy, he is so transcendent. But I get the point that you're making, and I don't think it's crazy.
A minute left. Kawhi Leonard, give me your best guess where he goes. It's a guess, but what's your guess?
Los Angeles. And I don't know which team, but I do not buy for 1 second the idea that he's anti-LeBron. If you notice this, a lot of these anonymously sourced reports about Kawhi, about Clay, about coaches, all of them seem to have one slant. Everybody hates LeBron James. That's what it turns out. I mean, to ignore all those guys showing up on his TV show or the people that have teamed with Clutch Sports. Everyone hates LeBron. I think if the Raptors make the finals, I think they've got a real shot at keeping him. Otherwise, I think Kawhi is going to Los Angeles. And if I may, your note on Klay Thompson, I think you nailed it. Klay, if the Warriors give him 5 years, $200 million on the first minute of free agency, he will stay. If not, he might go to Los Angeles, and he actually would be the perfect teammate,
yeah,
for LeBron James.
Yeah, no, he would be. And I think the Warriors, by the way, know that he would be the perfect teammate. I've argued this for years. Outside of LeBron, he may fit on every roster in the league. A two-way player, not much ego. He may be the perfect fit for virtually every team in the NBA.
And just, and I know we're late, just quickly, I think what Clay's concern is, and the reason this is out there, is no one expects Durant to make his decision hour one of free agency.
Right.
And if the Warriors screw around and wait to make Clay's offer until Durant officially makes his decision, they could lose him. The Warriors need to make, lock Clay up the first moment they can. You know Durant's leaving anyway. Don't fool yourself into thinking, maybe we keep Durant. You don't need Clay. You can't disrespect one of the original Splash Brothers like that.
By the way, Nick Wright crushed me today. He's been on this Celtic thing and Milwaukee thing all year. Not a great day for me. And so we're 1-1.
That's all right. 1-1. Absolutely. We'll talk more later about when we have the tiebreaker. Good to see you, brother.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So there's a story out in Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys, and that they're going to have to pay him now $30 million, and Amari Cooper wants over $16 million, $46 million for two guys. I like Amari Cooper, but he's not Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham special. He's really good. So I'd much rather pay him $14 than I would $16, but if you got to overpay a little. Dak Prescott is, he's the line of demarcation. Right below him on the best quarterbacks in the league is Mariota, who I'm out on, Winston, pretty much out on, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton. You're going to have to overpay for him. And it was funny, I was saying today, if I could have my ideal pyramid, what ideally I would pay quarterbacks, my ideal pyramid, the top of the pyramid would only be five guys. I would pay them what the market bears, 28 to 30 million. Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady. I'm just going to pay them what I have to pay them. I'm not going to have to love it. Aaron's a little brittle. Andrew Luck's been hurt. Russell's a little small. Patrick Mahomes a little young. Brady a little old. They're not perfect, but I'd pay them what the market bears. Then the guys I'd push back on a little, and I'd pay about $23 million a year tops, are guys like Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Carson Wentz, and Watson. Now, Carson Wentz and Watson have been, there's some injury concerns here, but I think they're transformative talents. I think Wentz is better than Watson. Watson's doing it behind an awful offensive line. Those guys also have flaws. Many of you think, why not Drew Brees tier one? Because at the end of last year, I thought Drew Brees looked tired. I thought his arm, he doesn't throw the ball vertically down the field anymore. Those are the guys I'd pay in my ideal pyramid. They're tier two, $23 million. The third tier, I'd try to pay somewhere in the $18 to $20 million zone. That is, you know, that's guys that are grown-ups. They can run a team. Garoppolo, Cousins, Stafford, Goff, Dak, Cam. I'd even put Andy Dalton in there and Kirk Cousins in there. They're grown-ups. I can trust them. That's only 18 quarterbacks. So that tells you I'm out on Mariota, who isn't healthy enough or good enough, and I'm out on Winston, who's not grown up enough and available enough because he gets suspended. I didn't count the Bakers, the Sams, the Joshes, the Lamars, Trubisky. I need more. By the way, I would put Jared Goff in tier three. The only young quarterbacks I would put in any of these tiers, Mahomes in tier one. I think he's an absolute transformative talent. Deshaun Watson in Wentz in tier two. Again, I think they're different. Now, there's a little injury concern, but I like them both. And then in tier three, I'd put Goff because I think he works perfectly with Sean McVay's system. He's a grown-up. He's coachable. He literally is the opposite of our Kardashian. I never see him in Los Angeles. I mean, quarterback of the Rams, I've never seen him here. So, but this is the ideal pyramid. Now, again, I'm not nothing against Baker. I'm not counting any of the young guys yet. The only young guys I'd make an exception for, Mahomes is absurd. Goff's a real grown-up. I've got multiple years now. And I think Watch and Deshaun have shown me they just don't make a lot of guys like that. They don't make a lot of Carson Wentz's. I mean, Deshaun Watson's doing it with maybe the worst offensive line in the NFL in years. And the kid's still running around and making plays. You give him a decent O-line, I think he takes a 30% step up. He's still making the playoffs. And he played all the 16 games last year, I believe. I don't think he missed a game, even though he's getting, you know, his kidney almost exploded during the season. But he played. So, yeah, he played through a punctured lung. I mean, there you go. So this is the ideal pyramid. Dak wants more than I would pay for Rodgers, Luck, Mahomes, Wilson, Brady. Now, I say more than I'd pay. I'd pay whatever the top of the market is. But there's only about 18 guys in the league right now. I'm, again, not counting the young guys. That tells you there's a lot of franchises out there. Like this whole Nick Foles thing, you do get he's going to go 6-10 this year. You've been fooled into believing because the Eagles have a great owner, a great GM, a very good coach, unbelievable offensive line. I mean, that defensive line, you've been fooled into thinking Foles, watch him go 6-10. There's not a lot of guys I want to pay big money for. They're just not. And if I'm paying you $30 million like Dak, then I shouldn't have to pay $16 million for a wide receiver and eventually $24 million for a running back and be petrified if there's an injury on the offensive line. If I'm paying you $30, listen, Aaron Rodgers got to a Super Bowl and won it, and he's never had a great defense. Andrew Luck went 11-5, 11-5, 11-5 with no O-line or running game. Russell Wilson, I mean, honestly, offensive line, running backs, receivers, how many stars has he had? Tom Brady? Edelman's his go-to guy? Patrick Mahomes? He's a baby. So there's Dak's getting into a territory where I think Dak's a tier three guy and he wants to be paid tier one money. That's trouble. That's not a great ending. That could be a franchise sinking deal. And as Joy said earlier, I think you're trapped because if I'm Dak's agent, I'm like, you think I'm taking a haircut? You think I'm taking a pay cut? I saved your franchise. I watched the year that Tony Romo was hurt. I watched your backups. You're the biggest brand in the NFL. I made you $150 million the last 3 years in merchandise, in ticket sales, in relevance. I mean, the Tony Romo Cowboys, even networks didn't want the Cowboys on that year. I mean, Dax kept them on television for 3 years. He's going to get it. He is going to get a tier one contract. Watch out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy, I you have said you believe in conspiracies more than I do. I tend to be, I have a battle within my brain all the time. I want to be somebody that evolves. I've been an investor, you know, in the market for years. I'm always looking for the new company, the Amazon, the next Netflix, the next Uber. But I also think 99% of the next great idea is a bunch of hooey. I didn't buy into the Atkins diet. It made no sense to me. People that are overweight suddenly lecturing all of us who are in shape to eat T-bone steaks for breakfast. Nah, I'm going to go with fruit. I don't think grain bread is evil. I'm not eating bacon and cheese all day. I didn't buy into the Atkins diet. I didn't buy into Bitcoin. Really, no centralized bank in the world accepted Bitcoin. Bitcoin, that's not really the kind of currency I trust. Never bought into the Segway. Oh, we were all going to ride Segways to work. Now just go to YouTube and there's loops of people falling off them riding around their house. I never bought into the Wildcat offense. Really? Let's not hike the ball to quarterbacks. Hike it to a halfback. I didn't buy it. I don't buy into a lot of new stuff. Self-driving cars is the new one. Oh, really? I'm going to be on the interstate in Los Angeles. Look over and I'm the only guy in his car. Really? We have self-driving cars. They're called Uber. Somebody drives me around town.
I mean, I think that's coming.
Well, not in the world in which I live. I'm not leaving my house if the world is nobody's in a car. I'm never leaving my house, okay? And this is why I never bought into the triangle offense in the NBA with Phil Jackson. Why? Because nobody copied it. Everybody copies everything. I mean, football, the NFL, we call it the copycat league. In television, which I work, American Idol and The Survivor have spawned 400 shows. Networks. I mean, everybody's copying everybody. Silicon Valley, everybody's copying everybody. If something's successful, everybody's copying it. Nobody copied the triangle offense. It was Kobe and MJ. And without him, it's known as the inverted triangle offense that doesn't make the playoffs. Let me tell you about the process in Philadelphia. It's a bunch of hooey. You're basically giving up your franchise for half a decade. Oh, by the way, still charging your fans $800 to sit in the 18th row. So the fans get hosed on the process, which is just tank, and then just get great draft picks. Oh, by the way, Sam Hinkie was the GM of that. He's been fired since. Oh, somebody else hired him because they did. He's a consultant for an NFL team, the Denver Broncos. Why isn't he getting gobbled up for the brilliance? By the way, Daryl Morey, he didn't completely tank. He actually went to the Clippers and took their best player. This league is about veterans who can score, not about kids. None of these kids are winning in this league now. It's about veteran guys. Al Horford. Giannis is no kid, by the way. What is he, in his fifth year? You know, he's considered a kid. He's not a kid. He's been developing his game forever. He's now in his fifth year. Kawhi Leonard, not a kid. Fifth, sixth year. Took him about four to be able to play. So this whole Philadelphia thing, I never bought into the process. I don't believe any brilliant architectural plan whiffs on four top picks. Michael Carter Williams, Jahlil Okafor, Markelle Fultz, Nerlens Noel. Was that part of the process? Bombing on picks? By the way, Ben Simmons and Embiid, that's part of the process. It's also part of, I don't know, occasionally hitting on a draft pick. You don't have to be called anything to occasionally hit on a draft pick. The Blazers hit on Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Is that need a nickname? I mean, the Warriors hit on Klay Thompson and Steph. Does it need a nickname? I don't buy in tanking. The Phoenix Suns are the only team that have copied that. How's that working out? What are they, on their 14th coach in 7 months? I mean, I just am a... And I battle it because I don't want to be an old guy that doesn't buy into anything new. Like, I am a believer. I'm always looking for the next thing. My entire career has been built off, okay, I did local TV. Okay, that's not as popular. Let's go to radio and then syndicated radio. And then I'm a mover. I'll move around trying to avoid, you know, the sheriff.
Well, you believe in the process, but not a fad.
And I
so
think
the idea behind the process is, This is something innovative that we're doing that's going to take time, except for no one else is doing it, and it requires the complete demolition of our team for,
minimum,
like you said, half of a decade.
Minimum half a decade while you're charging fans $1,600 for a nice couple in Philadelphia to go get a steak and watch a game. It's $1,600, and the team loses by 48.
Right. Things that truly revolutionize a sport or society or technology develop over time. It might burst on the scene, But that was 10, 20 years in the making. It didn't just become a thing and then everyone copies it and then it disappears. It's a process behind that thing. It's saying, this is an overnight star. No, that overnight star has been going to auditions for the last 20 years.
Right.
They finally just hit.
Yeah, Tom Hanks was not an overnight success.
Yeah, that's not how it works.
So I just, nothing against Philadelphia because I love their talent, but I've always, everybody's always like, well, no, the process got them all these great draft picks. Yeah, it got them Simmons and Embiid. Embiid, I'm ready to move off of, and Simmons, half of Philadelphia is ready to move off of. Because you're hitting a couple of picks, mostly hit, that doesn't make it anything special. I don't buy into tanking. The Celtics didn't tank. The Spurs never tank. The Clippers, by the way, look how good they are after losing their guys. They didn't tank. I'm not into this tanking thing. Unless you're going to give fans free tickets, I don't buy into tanking. And I don't think getting a bunch of young guys matters because the NBA has always been a veterans league. You can't win with 20-year-old guys. I mean, Jason Tatum's a great young player. He disappeared for most of this series against Milwaukee. So I saw this. That's self-driving cars. I'm off the freeway if that happens. I'll tell you right now, I am off.
It's so much safer.
With literally nobody in the car.
We're in the car, but if all the cars communicated with each other.
Oh, great.
It'd be like iRobot.
They're going to, like dolphins?
Imagine how much more you'd get done.
What do you mean they're communicating with each other?
We have a Tesla, and it has the cameras all around the car.
Yeah, but you and Earl are in it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if all the other cars were doing the same thing, it'd be much safer.
All right. You're going to feel good about a freeway when you look over and you're the only person in a car. A bunch of robots driving around.
No, there's no robots. The car drives itself.
I'm not comfortable at all with that.
Also, to all the robot people, I did not say that. That was Colin Cowherd. So when you take over the world, I am very pro-robot.
I'm not. I'm anti-robot. I am not into robots. So Russell Westbrook and Paul George have undergone off-season surgeries. Westbrook, torn ligament left hand. Plays 100 miles an hour, plays hard, and he had a surgically repaired right knee. It was a minor procedure. There are certain things, and we know this in life, that don't go well together. Like no exercise and bad diet. You'll die sooner than me. Statistically, no exercise, bad diet, you don't last as long. In the NBA, two things that make sure you don't age well. Hyper-athleticism and can't shoot. It means you're going to have to go to the basket and score, get knocked down, go into the trees. It shortens careers. Derrick Rose, John Wall, Westbrook, they're not aging well. Hyper-athletic, super fast, get by people. But that means you go into the forest with 6'8", 6'9", 300-pound guys. Here's what ages well, and I'm not anti-Westbrook. Here's what ages well in the NBA. Now, I told you, hyper-athleticism and can't shoot doesn't age well. Bad diet, don't exercise, doesn't age well. Here are the two things that age well in the NBA. Shooters and self-awareness. Vince Carter used to dunk. Now he just shoots threes. Kobe scored at the rim. Last 5 years, jumpers. Ray Allen came into this league as a dynamic athlete. Last 9 years, I'll stay out of here, I'll shoot jumpers. Jamal Crawford, shooter, 20 years. Reggie Miller, 18 years. Dirk Nowitzki, 21 years. Kobe, 20 years. What ages well in the NBA, and I think if I ran a franchise, I'd really pay attention to this. Find guys who can shoot, obvious, but the underrated thing is self-awareness. The guys in this league who age, Vince Carter, Kobe, Jason Terry, Jamal Crawford, Dirk, they have this understanding. I don't want to bang around the rim. I don't want to get knocked down. So you see it as this gift, this hyper-athleticism. But Rose, John Wall, and Westbrook, now Westbrook's the best of those three, I think, easily, but they're not aging well, is I've always thought Russell needs a little more self-awareness. Dude, I'm not interested in you scoring at the rim as much. I'm not interested in you getting rebounds. I want you half court, let the bigs get the rebounds. They get the ball to you. You don't have to grab the rebound, go 96 feet. Russell needs to alter his game. I want to see more jumpers. I don't want to see you near the glass. I want you getting outlet passes. Self-awareness has always been massively undervalued in this league.